What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. How is everybody doing today? I tell you what, where I am up in North Yorkshire, it is grey and wet. And it feels to me like autumn has just kicked in really, really early this year. I don't know what it's like wherever else you are in the country, but do let us know. You can reach out to me by email or through the social media account, UK Health Radio. Don't forget to do that and just let us know where you are and what you're up to. I've got a fantastic show for you today. There's somebody that's been very, very dear in my life for many, many years. She's a great friend, an absolute powerhouse. She's a pioneer in one of the probably the most I don't know what you'd call it, most important, but also kind of contradictory sectors of our time right now. And we'll discuss that. It's the fashion industry. Apparently, fashion is the third biggest emitter on the planet. My guest can maybe answer that for me later. Before I do bring her on, and I don't want to give a spoiler alert and let you know who it is yet, but I can assure you she's worth hanging around for. I just wanted to give you a little bit of news. As you know, my wife and I run mygreenpod.com, which is a ethical lifestyle and sustainable business platform. We publish a magazine every 2 months. We've got one coming out next week, actually, for Organic September and part of the UN General Assembly Climate Week in New York, which I'm going to be out there next week doing some stuff on stage in Times Square. But I just wanted to share a little bit of news. This is a story that came out on September the 11th. You can find out more about this if you go to mygreenpod.com. The title is One in 10 Kids Obese. Now, that's a shocking title, to say the least. Obesity exceeds underweight for the first time among school-age children and adolescents globally. Now, that is just appalling, right? This is our country. This is our children. Obesity outweighs underweight. I mean, that's just okay. Let me go on and tell you a little bit more about this. Obesity surpassed underweight as the more prevalent form of malnutrition this year, affecting 1 in 10 or 188 million school-aged children and adolescents and placing them at risk of life-threatening disease. This is done by UNICEF. And they've actually warned in this report. It goes on to say how food environments are failing children, draws on data from over 190 countries and finds the prevalence of underweight among children aged 5 to 19 has declined since 2000 from nearly 13% to 9.2%, while obesity rates have increased from 3% to 9.4%. Obesity now exceeds underweight in all regions of the world, except sub-Sahara Africa, of course, and South Asia. This is down to a shift in diet. So it says, according to the findings, several Pacific Island countries have the highest prevalence of obesity globally, including 38% of 5 to 19-year-olds in Niue, 37% in Cook Island, 33% in Nauru. These levels, which have all doubled since 2000, are largely driven by a shift from traditional diets to cheap, energy-dense, imported foods. That's I mean, there's a lot of news about this stuff at the moment, particularly with the sugar taxes conversation and the ultra processed foods conversation and everything else. But this is a global stat that actually really shocks me. You can find out more about this, and please do. I just wanted to read you this little quote from Catherine Russell from UNICEF. She says, when we talk about malnutrition, we are no longer just talking about underweight children. Obesity is a growing concern that can impact the health and development of children. Ultra processed food is increasingly replacing fruits, vegetables, and protein at a time when nutrition plays a critical role in children's growth, cognitive development, and mental health. So this is not just like a Western issue, which you my head kind of immediately thinks America, as, maybe other European countries. But this has now gone to, those global South countries where you would have thought that nutrition was different just because of the basis of people not buying, I don't know, packaged foods and, foods from supermarkets and things like that. But clearly that is not the case. So this is incredibly worrying. So do please go to mygreenpod.com, read up about that, spread the word, keep your families off any ultra processed foods and high sugars and everything else, because, we really are finding out that these are not only bad for our health, they're actually toxic and potentially poisonous in large quantities. And large quantities means having a can of pop every day. So do look into that for yourself, for your family, for your children, and everyone in between. Okay, that's enough of me on my soapbox today. I am going to move into the space of inviting on our next guest. Let me just read you a little bit about what Wikipedia says about this person. Today's guest is Safia Minney. She's an MBE, an FRSA. She's a British social entrepreneur and author. She was the founder of Global Village, which she set up in 1991, and the founder and former global CEO for 24 years of PeopleTree, which was probably the first mainstream ethical sustainable fashion brand. It was a pioneering sustainable and fair trade fashion label. That's it. She is also a spokesperson and campaigner on fair trade and ethical fashion. She initiated World Fair Trade Day in 1999, which is endorsed by the World Fair Trade Organization and their members, and celebrated on the second Saturday of May each year. Additionally, she wrote the books Naked Fashion, The New Sustainable Fashion Revolution, Slow Fashion, Aesthetics Meets Ethics, Slave to Fashion, and Regenerative Fashion. Clearly, this guest is going to be a fashion expert. I could go on. I just wanted to give you a little bit of an insight into the expert that we are talking to. Welcome to the show, Safia Minney.
Oh, thank you so much, Jarvis, for having me. I'm really excited to be here on Lean Into Clean.
So am I. So am I. So look, I've just read a little bit about you on Wikipedia, right? Which is sometimes not always up to date. I'm guessing it's probably not in this case. Just give us a bit of an insight to you and what's been missed from that bio. What tell us about yourself from the way that you see yourself.
Okay. Well, first, half Indian, Mauritian, and Swiss. Which kind of makes me an interesting kind of a Brit, and that will be coming up in my music choices later on, Jarvis.
Eclectic.
And I suppose also in terms of the Wikipedia, I've been very busy since leaving PeopleTree as CEO, working to set up this grassroots movement for action in the climate and ecological and social emergency, which is called Fashion Declares. And so I'm busy at the moment producing an amazing curated event with about 20 pioneers in circular and regenerative fashion and making, which is happening at Conway Hall on Thursday, all-day event from 11 until 5. And then I've just put together this micro, tiny, weeny craft brand, which is, I 30 years ago I wanted to mainstream certified organic cotton, and we did that. We always had a craft offer, craft meaning using hand weaving, hand embroidery, hand block skills, those kinds of traditional skills, because they create livelihoods in very rural areas in the global south. But that still has not happened. So Indalicy, which is this tiny little brand that I've just created this spring, did the runway at Manchester Fashion Week, and
Congratulations.
thank you. So that's what I'm busy doing right now and at the moment?
Nice. I have some Indalici trousers that Sophia very kindly sent me. They're beautifully woven linen. They're absolutely gorgeous. I forgot to send you a picture of me wearing them, but I will do that. And my wife has this gorgeous dress, so do go and check out Indalici. How do you spell that, Sophia? Just so people can go and check it out.
Yeah, it's more difficult than we thought.
Yes.
Indalici. So it's INDILISI. So it's quite straightforward, Indalici. And it was my
Great.
daughter's imaginary friend when she was about 6 years old. And Indalici was a kind of land that lived through the knots on the wood. We lived in Japan, so of course lots of woodwork, and through those knots in the wood was Indalici land. So yeah. Everything had gone, and I asked whether she might let me use Indalici.
Ah, that's that. Is it .com.co.uk?
Oh, Indalici.com. Yeah.
Okay, indalici.com. Do go and check out. If you really care about what you're wearing and one of those beautiful fabrics that are, handmade with love, and that's the place to go and check out. She's got a wonderful range there. Anyway, enough of the promotion. We want to get to know more about you. Now, you used two words there which were linked to fashion, if I remember rightly, regenerative. And I think you said circular fashion. Was that right? Did I make that up? Yeah. Just tell us, what is regenerative and circular fashion? How would you describe that?
Well, Jarvis, we're in a climate and ecological emergency, which means that many scientists will say that we need to cut production and consumption by as much as 75, some say 95%. So we would then be left with, between 5 and 25% of the kind of production that we currently have. And so, the question that I've been holding for the last 30 years is, because obviously that was clear even 30 years ago, we were in a climate crisis already then, was that, we have to redesign the industry, but we also have to make sure that those who need jobs have got decent jobs, but we also have to create materials that are low impact, that can be grown and harvested with respect to the soil, to the earth, to ecosystems, to biodiversity, and to the farmers who are those, very stewards of the land. So you did say it was linen, but it's not. It's 100% organic cotton.
Oh, is it? It feels like linen to me.
It
My
does.
apologies.
It's amazing what you can do with organic cotton, especially on a hand loom. You can have, incredibly fine weaves, and you can also have, slightly warmer weights that, will see you into winter. So you can do so many things with hand woven organic cotton. But anyway, that's
Ah.
the point. So the I guess, we know that we have to slow down fashion. We cannot continue to produce fabrics and clothing made out of fossil fuels. Fossil fuel derived materials equal two-thirds of the product of the fabrics that we consume today, and we kind of don't really even consume them. We just kind of buy them, and very often don't wear them more than once, if that, and then we throw them away, right? So we've
Or
got
go to charity, take them to a charity shop, or in an ideal world.
exactly. And this is where the circular part comes up. So, we know that we've got huge amounts of clothing. We need to repair them, keep them in circulation, hopefully make them in good enough quality so that we can continue to use them. So at Crafting Fashion Futures this Thursday, we have Daniel, the creative director of the Orr Foundation in Ghana, coming over to tell us in Britain how we can create a circular economy. Because, we don't need to imagine this. In Ghana, it's a reality. Many of us have seen what's happened in Kathmandu, in Accra, where, all of our fashion waste ends up, there in Chile and some Eastern European countries actually, and now increasingly into Nepal and India. But we what we need to do is we need to find ways of creating a circular economy within our own countries, so that we can make good these fibers and fabrics and clothing, so that we're not, in this horrible continuation actually of a kind of colonialist system, with this post-colonialism being shipped off to other people.
It's amazing, amazing. Thank you for that insight. It's interesting, isn't it? You talk about colonialism, and our country's backbone was built from importing cotton and sugar, I think, wasn't it? They were the two major imports in that Victorian era. Most of the country was built off the slavery of those products. So, just tell me. I know you're very, very passionate about the whole kind of, the history, if you like. And you actually, you're very much focused in your sector on, telling stories about that history. We've had some conversations about it. I know you're really passionate about it. Do you think the story of the past has been expressed and honored, or do you think it's still a bit of a swept under the carpet, elephant in the room conversation?
Well, when I started PeopleTree and my kind of career in fashion, in sustainable fashion, I was in Japan, and it was true in Japan as it is in the UK. The stories that we don't want our children and our societies to learn, we don't write in history books. And so, there is this, awakening, certainly of younger people in the UK to the horrific suffering that British colonialism is responsible for, and colonialism, of course, from the Portuguese, from the Spanish, from the French,
The Dutch.
Dutch, absolutely, absolutely. And I, recently finished reading a book about Clive of India, that was actually written by my ex-husband's grandfather. So, very interesting, kind of. But I, yes, I think we are waking to it, and I'm beginning to understand that, our current economic system, our current financial system, is a continuation of that colonialist power imbalance, and that we have to really start to question how we frame the systems. And I think that's where, for example, some of the initiatives around ethical funding, to support socially just and environmentally friendly and healthy projects comes into play. We have to reduce, we're if we think about the nine planetary boundaries, where we've already exceeded six planetary boundaries, which has huge impact not only to climate health, but to human health and the health of other species arguably that support human health, as we found out during COVID. We are now having to really think about the reframe. And if we look at the Climate Human Niche Report, we can see that by 2070, that a third of the human population will have to be on the move, because crops, water, the lifeline to communities will be so incredibly broken. So, there is no, there's no question we have to act. But I think it's also something coming back to recognize that all of us, are part of this system, and we can all do something to help. But it starts with, I think, an awareness as to how that system has undermined so deeply the global society, but also, the common health on which humanity depends.
Yeah, beautiful. Let's get into that. Before we do, because I think it's quite a big subject, and I think you've really very beautifully given the overview of the problem, and not just historically, but actually today and the future. So thank you for doing that. You've set that up beautifully. I want to ask you about what our listeners can do, how they can take some responsibility, how they can become more aware and more conscious of things that they can do in their lives, particularly when it comes to what they're choosing to wear, and fashion is not just about what you wear, it's about the culture. It's also about what goes on in your house as well. I mean, there's been fashion statements throughout the ages of different things we'll put in our home. So let's come to all of that with you, the expert Safia. But right now we're going to go to a commercial break. These is UK Health Radio's adverts, the very thing that supports us. So do listen in. We'll see you back here in just a few minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm here with Safia Mini, who is an absolute expert on sustainable fashion. We've just talked about some of the problems, some of the history, even what's coming up in the foreseeable future with our planetary boundaries being pushed and extended beyond what they can handle. Safia, you know, when people are listening to this, and particularly when you talk about planetary boundaries and things like that, which you and I 100% get because we're fully immersed in the problems and trying to the best of our ability, bring solutions through the sectors that we work in. Yours is fashion. I think when people hear that, they go, oh my God, it's so big. What can I do? And actually, you know, people can do stuff, can't they? Tell us what people can do from your perspective, because, you are probably one of the world's leading experts in this field. So give us some juice that we can actually, get behind you and support.
Thanks, Jarvis. Well, I think it really, there's so much that we can do, from wherever we might be working or, how we're living, within our families and our communities, for sure. Real sustainability, we set up with lots of advice on what you could do over 10 different topics from, food, energy, finance, beauty, clothing, et cetera, et cetera. There's no shortage of information out there. And then we also put a leadership section together because, whether you're working in, a hospital or you're running a business, small or large, there are so many things through good leadership that you can do. We run carbon literacy training, for example, for fashion and retail people. But if you go on to the Carbon Literacy Project site supported, it supports many different courses so that you can learn within a given sector how you can decarbonize your sector. It is what it says on the tin, it's becoming carbon literate. And so, if the average person in the UK has a carbon footprint of 11 tons of CO2, and we know that we need to cut that to something like 2 tons of CO2, there's an amount that we can do by ourselves, reducing our meat consumption, switching to a more plant-based diet, making sure that we're not banking with some of the worst banks, those that support fossil fuels, Barclays, for instance, and many other high street banks. We can take our pensions, if we have them, if we're lucky enough to have them, out of the kinds of places where our pension is actually fueling climate collapse and some of the atrocities now in Gaza, as we see. And kind of coming back to your point, within the context of clothing, well, I mean, there are many apps over different things. I've been vegetarian since I was about 20. There's for the fashion industry, for example, there's the Good On You app, Which is really great. It scores fashion brands for their across a different number of issues. And for some people, human rights are more important than environmental issues, or animal rights are more important than how mining is conducted for metals in electronics. I think, again, it's a quite a personal thing. And then the ethical consumer, which I've been a subscriber of for decades, which I absolutely love, which covers different product groups. So I think there's a huge amount that we can learn and do. But I think it really, it does boil down, I'm afraid, to being political. We are at a point in human history when there are some, very, very difficult and antisocial powers that be that are undermining democracy and humanity at a very, very frightening level.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I agree. Thank you for that. That's brilliant. Let's talk about specifically about the projects that you're involved in at the moment. Now, this event that you've got at Conway Hall this Thursday.
Yes, that's right.
So anybody listening in the UK, I mean, just tell us about that event.
Yes, I'd love to. So we've got five sessions. We're going to kick off with what does a new economy look like? So how do we redesign the fashion industry in terms of textile and production? And that will be with Polly Leonard, who's the editor of Selvedge magazine, very famous magazine. The day that we run the event is it's on the first day of London Fashion Week, but it's also part of something called London Textile Month. So really excited about that. And then we'll be going on to look at how we regenerate land. So we'll be talking to farmers, natural dyers, people who are producing fibre in the UK, but also overseas. So we'll be compiling that. And then we'll have a session which will be looking at sustainability and craft within supply chains, because there is a lot of craft. I mean, hand weaving is, for example, the second largest employer in India after agriculture. So it's staggering. And yet, most people in Britain, for example, have never worn or touched a piece of hand woven fabric, let alone organic cotton hand woven fabric. I mean, you've got your trousers, Jarvis, but that's quite bad. And then we'll be going on to talk about the crafting of a circular economy, which I mentioned earlier. So how can we learn from people in the global south who are being dumped upon? How are they dealing with waste, so that we can also start thinking about how we start taking responsibility for the waste in our own country? Developed countries like the UK really should be taking and investing in the kind of infrastructure. And then we'll be bookending it around a final discussion, which will be about this new economy, because we know that without legislation to choke off the worst of it, and without, it's carrot and stick, isn't it? Without incentives also to promote the best practice, that this isn't going to happen. And for that to happen, we need finance and we need regulation. So we'll have very experienced speakers who have also been practitioners and on the legal side. Bates Wells, a pioneer in legal practice, have worked with Fashion Declares to write a white paper for the UK government to give a really, really strong and clear message as to what needs to be done to really push forward a much more regenerative post system. So, whilst it sounds like this is all very, very specialist, we're going to have makers in the room as well as sustainable fashion people in the room. We have communicators, filmmakers, because actually every sector needs a vision. And, certainly from my experience, if you go to a conference and you pick up three great tips and ideas that you can put into action, then for me, that's a great conference. So, yeah, we're hoping that we'll have people from many different industries who are passionate about sustainability and wanting to be part of the solution.
Nice. So how do people find out about that? Where do they need to go to Eventbrite, and what would people search?
Oh, thanks. Yeah, so you go on to Fashion Declares Eventbrite, and You can even join online. There are tickets from £50. There's also a concessionary at £35. But of course, if you're in London, we would love to see you, and that will give you also the opportunity to meet other people who are passionate like you. There's lots of networking. There's even a crafts exhibition with Indian craftspeople and artisans, lovely plant-based lunch. It's going to be really good fun. It's
Yeah.
Conway Hall, which is such a beautiful Art Deco building. So,
It's a great
yeah.
venue. Yeah. Fantastic. Great, great. Thank you very much. Okay, I think this would be a good moment. I always ask my guests to bring some music to the show. Songs that are important to them that maybe are soundtracks to their life's work. And I know you've chosen a couple of crackers. We're going to play your first song. Tell us what the song is, who it's by, and what it's called. And then after we played it, you can tell me why you chose it.
Okay, well, this is a song by Alia Isha, and I'll tell you more about it later. I hope you like it. I think, for me, running sustainable fair trade fashion shows over the decades now, at the G8 in Hong Kong and in Brazil and in Tokyo and London, even at Clarence House, actually, it was really amazing. I've always been like searching for really relevant music, something with a great beat that the models can like happily walk to, but also something that has got a strong message. And for
Yeah.
me, this really has a good strong
This
message.
is a good, strong message. Good. I hope you enjoy it as much as we're going to, and we'll see you back here after the song. Wow, Blood Money by Alia Isha. What a powerful song. Why did you choose that, Safia? Tell me.
Well, as I said, it's great fun producing sustainable fashion shows with with people that you love to wear your clothes, and to see them on the catwalk when you've met the artisans, the farmers, it's just really lovely. But yeah, as like we did at Manchester Fashion Week last week, we really wanted to kind of bring the elephant into the room, which is that, the system is vastly skewed against people within the global south. And, if we look at fast fashion, then we understand, the billionaires who are profiteering from the extraction of both, our beautiful planet, but also the people that produce clothes. There are still, the vast majority of people in fashion supply chains are women. The majority do not earn minimum wage, let alone living wage. And we have constant violations through sexual, through psychological and physical assaults of women. And that's violence. Poverty is violence, and yet we just continue with this ridiculous system and find excuses to buy from ultra fast fashion and fast fashion. It's just not good enough, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. Why do you think, and thank you for that, as it was a great record. It definitely gets you thinking. I love the erraticness of the beats as well, which is really, really unusual. It's fantastic. Why do you think we are allowing fast fashion to get away with it, get away with itself? What's the issue in culture that we've got?
Well, I think it goes beyond fashion, to be honest. I think, I remember, at the age of 17, realizing that, teachers and policemen and politicians were not necessarily trustworthy. But I think we go through this phase, don't we, when we kind of believe that those in power, are, straight up and honest,
They have our backs, which clearly they do not.
they do not, no. And so, I guess, we are lulled into a false sense of security, aren't we, as youngsters, to believe that the right thing is being done for planet and people. And of course, that's not the case. So then there's the kind of the breaking of understanding just how incredibly destructive the current system is. And also coming to terms with the fact that, we are all, even if we've, spent our lives doing alternative things, we are all part of that system. Yet nothing is perfect. And so I guess we, and in the backdrop of this incredibly exploitative system, one where modern day slavery is the norm, one that's highly extractive, is the norm. We also, certainly in the UK, for the last 40 years, we have been making the rich richer. The middle class has nearly fallen away. Those that are, when I started Peopletree, for example, 30, more than 30 years ago now, it was affordable for teachers, social workers, and nurses. Whereas today, often people are struggling on what should be decent pay. And so naturally they would be, looking just to survive, to buy things that are cheaper. Now, that's a bigger social endemic issue, which again is a deeply political issue. But yeah, I mean, we can say that it starts with lack of awareness, but we can also say that when, media is constantly, promoting, this is splurge, this is spree. I mean, lots of fashion journalists, fashion magazines that were, promoting fast fashion and, ultra fast fashion more recently. And I think it's terribly irresponsible.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Well said. Well said. A round of applause. I hope that everybody out there listening to Safia is clapping for her, for her commitment to an industry that really, really, really needs a shake up. We're going to have to go to another commercial break, Safia. What I really want to do after the break is I want to talk a bit more about your, you know, your passion project, which is Indalisa. I know you've shared a lot about it, but what's the vision with it? You know, what are you, how what have you learned from running PeopleTree that, you know, you would do differently? And just you know, give us your vision for the future of fashion. So we'll go into that shortly, but we are going to go to a commercial break. See you back here with Safia in just a few minutes.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I was just looking at your Indalisa website, actually. I noticed you've got some new shirts, men's shirts on there, which look rather fabulous. I'm going to have to tap you up for a new shirt, I think. But Safia, just tell us about your... Tell us about your new project, which is Indalisa. You've told us about, you know, the respect and the care that you're taking for the materials and the way that products are, or fabrics are woven. I love that. I mean, that's it reminds me of, you know, when I was a child and my grandmother, you know, the way that she used to kind of talk about things in the world. And then, you know, things have dramatically changed in the 45, 50 years that I've been alive. So just tell us about the vision with Indalisa and, you know, why it's important to you and how is it, you know, do you see it as becoming a big, mainstream, not quite the right word, but do you see it becoming a kind of big fashion brand, or is it more of a thought leadership brand, or, you know, just tell us about your process of what's going on in your world right now.
Thanks, Jarvis. Yeah, I mean, textiles and the way we produce clothes has changed so much. So it's good to remind us, isn't it, that it's quite a recent thing, you know.
Just one generation, really, isn't it, if not two at the max.
Totally. So, you know, going back to craft skills, I mean, there is a resurgence of people looking at how they can produce clothes more thoughtfully so that they can treasure clothes as they are supposed to be. You know, and I think, you know, for me it's always been about the human rights, the being able to pay people decently so that we can support communities that are more humane. Because, you know, if I imagine myself having to earn a living producing clothes, I would much rather be producing in a village in Bangladesh with my children near me, with a good school that they could commute to, with, you know, growing with a little vegetable garden, with, you know, with courgettes and marrows growing over the, you know, I just, you know, it just to have to leave all of that to commute and live in a slum, 6 hours driveway, see my children and family, maybe no more than twice a year. Just is horrendous. You know, and that would be topped with, you know, working hours that would typically only give them one day off per month to do their laundry and just be people. I mean, it just is horrific. So there's that kind of human element. At the same time, you know, it's become clearer and clearer over the years that we have to find a more fair way of redistributing wealth. And if we're going to buy something like, you know, the shirt that I'm wearing, for example, is hand woven in organic cotton, you know, we could buy this from a fashion brand, and It would be the same price if I sell it to you whilst my paying organic cotton farmers and the hand weavers and the tailors fairly. The difference is that I'm bringing it to you directly and I'm not paying big overheads on, big salaries or marketing, for example. But I think, for me also, there is this kind of intrinsic value of craft. I remember people would come into my shop in Tokyo and they would say, "I can feel the energy of the hand weaver when I put your shirts and wear them."
Nice, nice. Yeah.
Not that I could ever claim that, because of course you can't say things like that. But
No, but those of us that are sensitive to, it's like food, isn't it? When food's been cooked with love, you can taste that love in it. And it's the same with clothes and cottons and natural materials. I'm with you. I think we should be able to claim this stuff. That's what's missing in society today is the feeling with you. How does it feel with you?
I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
And some certifications now, if you again think about them through the kind of colonialist lens, they are
Yeah.
not at all participative to small scale farming organizations and artisanal groups. And as much as I'm really supportive of GOTS, Global Organic Textile Standards, they need to be doing more to bring benefit to those people who really deserve to be part of the international market. It's
Yeah.
just not
Yeah.
fair. But to your other point, I do think that as we reduce our extraction of natural resources, then it is this question of how can we maximize payment to people who are producing clothes for us. And hand skills, handcraft skills, of course, it means you're producing very slowly, very consciously, very deliberately. We can only weave between 4 and 7 meters of fabric a day, to something on a power loom, for example, where that would be, 20 meters a day. I'm talking about a small power loom here,
Yeah, wow.
And so there is this big difference, isn't there? But
Yeah.
we need to be celebrating slow. We need to be celebrating craft, celebrating putting, human hands and skills and wisdom and traditional, knowledge really front and central to our economy. We're yet, and that's really the point of Thursday. It's to really open up that lid on what the potential of crafts are in building these post-growth pathways for fashion industry.
Yeah, lovely, lovely, lovely. I think if there's anybody out there listening and you are, you don't have to be in the fashion industry, but you do have a care about what you wear and, maybe building some resilience or regeneration for our future generations. This event happening on Thursday, I think if it speaks to you, do go because you're going to meet some amazing people. That's for sure. Sefia, can we play your second song? Just give us the title and the artist. I understand it's the same artist, but what's the title of the song? And after we've played it, you can tell me how it made you feel and why you chose it.
Yeah, so this track is called Diaspora, and it's Alia Ishan again, and yeah, I think it's nice because it kind of calls us. There are very, very there are lots of people, like myself, and I think you, Jarvis, too, that have mixed
Yeah.
ethnic and cultural heritage, and so for me, it kind of calls us to really be present, but also to take action for humanity.
Nice. Love it. So I hope you enjoy this as much as we will. We'll be back with Safia after this song.
showing everywhere you look. I ain't showing cause you want you to, girl. Who believe in he be on the land? Foolish we who leave this wall of man. Strong we are when we gon' take a stand. Bid the word on just as she be ran now.
What a great record. You know what really reminded me? I had a flashback to MIA, you know, with that kind of vibe, that kind of cultural, ethnic vibe. Really loved it. I'm glad you introduced me to this wonderful artist. How does it make you feel when you hear that song?
Well, yeah, it's really powerful for me the way the song starts because I think I'm embarrassed to say, but my generation, my kind of, you know, first generation of, you know, Indian Mauritian here, you know, I grew up in an extremely white kind of area in the home counties. I didn't actually see myself as a person of color. And, you know, it was very much later on in my journey through fair trade that I began to understand the failings, if you like, of our system, and just the enormous exploitation that created. And then I realized that actually, you know, that my father and his family had been part of, you know, the starvations in India, and had been an indentured slave and put on the boat to Mauritius, and an indentured labourer, but which is a modern day slave.
Mm-hmm.
And so I suppose, you know, this kind of, you know, this quest, this wanting people to kind of to recognize the power of colonialization and what that's done to, you know, to the economies that are left today, society, that our brain, the way we think about, you know, ourselves and each other. I love that it kind of ends with this, you know, calling people to really come together and to be free in a way that is, that's kind of leaning into the problem with knowledge of what's gone before us.
Mm-hmm. An identity. Yeah, I can absolutely relate to that. Being half Indian, grandfather had to leave India in partition, then had to leave East Africa when Idi Amin decided that Indians weren't welcome. And so I can absolutely relate to that. Thank you. Safia, I'm afraid these shows, the time goes so quickly. We have run out of time. You've been an amazing guest. I just want to remind everybody about your Fashion Declares event at Conway Hall this Thursday. You can go to Eventbrite and sign up and register for either the digital or the physical event if you happen to want to go to London or be in London. Do check out indilisi.com, which is indilisi.com. I've just had a look and was eyes wide open going, oh, she's got some new stuff on there, so go and have a look at that, check it out. The thing I love about your stuff, Safia, you buy it once and then it's there for life. And so much stuff you buy nowadays, you buy it, and I've even paid like, £150 for jeans, and within 6 months they're kind of wearing out between the groin, and it's like, what's going on with this world? I get mine fixed now. I take them to the repair shop. But Safia, any last closing words? Anything you wish you'd said that you didn't? Any questions you wish I'd asked you that I didn't?
Well, just great, great thanks. And I think, it is about being deliberate, conscious, and slow. And thank you so much for having me as a guest on Lean Into Green. Lean Into Clean and
It's
Green.
very, very easy to do because we've got My Green Pod and Lean Into Clean. So no, I love the way you mashed it up there. Well, I loved it. Safia, thank you so much. Have a wonderful week. I hope Thursday goes really well. If I was in London, I'd definitely be there, but unfortunately, I'm not. I'm going to love you and leave you all. Thank you for joining us. We're going to end the show with my version of Save the World. Featuring Rita Mora, who's an Indian singer based in the UK. This track is one to be played to raise money for Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Futures Mapper, the most affected people in areas. That's the young people around the world that can't afford basic stuff like internet or toilets or water or stuff like that. So play this song as much as you can, put it on the playlist, put it on repeat, go to sleep, turn the volume down, doesn't matter. Let's just raise as much money as we can for these people. Love you all. See you next week. Thanks for joining us. Safia, big hugs. Big kiss.
Thank you so much.
Into the streets, we're coming down. We never sleep.